The foot is on Triple M.
The weekend is here.
I like it.
And so is Triple M footy.
And don't you love it?
You come here to escape the real world.
This is the Friday Huddle.
For the all-new Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
The Wild West tonight, Optus Stadium, Collingwood. Massive game for them, taking on the reigning premiers, the West Coast Eagles. Guests, plenty of them. 10-7, Shane Warne joins us to tell us on earth what happened to the Aussies last night after they were bundled out of the World Cup. Adam Simpson, the Eagles coach, joins us at 7:05. Brenton Sanders from the Pies at 7:20. We got all your favourites. The top five is Luke Darcy tonight. Judge Juddy will be in the house. But a big news story, which rather than having a bit of a joke at the start, Darcy, I think we need to get to this news story. Hello to you.
Yeah, good to be back. Damien Barrett, take it away. What have you got?
Yeah, g'day, guys. John Longmire has officially decided to stay a Sydney Swans coach. He's added 3 years to the deal he already had in place for next year. So he will now be coaching that club by way of contract until the end of 2023. The formalities of it were waded through in the past week. He got the contract extension offer officially from the Swans late last week. He spent the weekend and the early parts of this week fine-tuning it and has come to the decision yesterday that he wanted to stay a Swan. He always wanted to. He just managed to get the right clauses in the contract to allow him to do that. So North Melbourne, having now tried the three premiership coaches, ex-North Melbourne player style, Alistair Clarkson, Adam Simpson, John Longmire, are now left without their one of their three preferences when they made the move on Brad Scott at, in round 11.
Damo, are you of the belief that John Longmire got a nice little bump in his contract on the back of being sought after?
He did. The North offer, we're never privy to the absolute specifics, but it was, Darcy, in the vicinity of $1.5 million a year times five. And it may well have even been a sixth year on that. And he's on nowhere near that money at the Swans, but it's probably pushing the seven figures, I would imagine. And it certainly has increased in the past couple of weeks since the interest in North reached the summit.
So he's out. If Rhys Shaw does get the job and they continue to win, what sort of coin are they going to have to offer to Rhys Shaw compared to the $1.5 million for John Longmire?
They're probably in the bargaining position there, Brownie, to just probably make him
half?
The lowest coach. Yeah, less than half, I would think. I mean, the market for coaches is when they're in demand, they can demand the price that Alistair Clarkson and John Longmire can. But Rhys Shaw is doing a really good job. But 5 weeks ago when North made that decision, or five matches ago when he took over, he wasn't at all being given a chance by that club. So it's a small body of work upon which they're now making decisions around him. But you're right, he is now a clear favourite to become the permanent North coach.
Very good. I tell you what, I've got I had a little bit of time just sunning myself away, and I've been working on an idea that I think could revolutionise the AFL industry.
Wow.
Revolutionise the AFL industry.
You so do have a bit of a tan.
Stay tuned for that. Probably maybe after seven, I might go with that.
You're going to revolutionise the industry?
I've got an idea that will be good for everyone. And I'm going to go through it in some detail.
Well, I look forward to that.
Just stay tuned.
Is it a real story or is it a Triple M style of
theatre? What are you calling fake news?
Mandating a mindfulness retreat in Bali?
Well, it might be closer to home than you think, Juddy.
Is it really 6 past 6 worthy to bring that up now? rubbish you're going to bring to the table in an hour?
It'll zone out when you start banging on that.
They've zoned out now.
Duke's working on his radio craft, isn't he?
And I'll tell you what, just stick around because you'll be...
Duke's teasing something in an hour. People have just already switched off.
There'll be people that were planning dinner that will stay home, Brownie, on the basis that that'll be the case.
Is this something you've cooked up in your Bali Highlands retreat when you're on those mushrooms again or not?
It will form part of my top five. That's all I'm at liberty to discuss as we speak right now.
How were the mushrooms this time?
It was good over there. It was good over there. Mushrooms, what are you talking about?
Very big week for everyone in football media this week. But before we get to Juddy's week, we've often discussed how good he is in radio, Dars. And that's,
brilliant.
That's always Damo.
Well, we made him in radio. Yeah, we made him radio.
But he's talented.
He is very talented at radio. In fact, I think he should be doing breakfast alongside you. That's how good he is. But the other side of his media deal, which is when he's in front of the camera, Dars.
Yeah, it doesn't quite work for him, does it?
You you're harsh
true.
On this,
it's
Howie.
Not true.
No, I'm with you on this one, James. I think you're really harsh on this,
Damo, he's not a TV operator.
The ratings don't lie.
He knows it too.
The ratings don't lie.
TV's not his medium.
The only reason I bring
doesn't
this up
work for him
is because he rolled into footy class on Monday night.
I haven't heard any of this.
With Damo. Yeah, with Damo, and he did a nice teaser because Hutchie was away and there was the extra camera this week, so there was the steady cam as well, and then they put a bit of extra light on the judge. And
it's not a happy environment for our man. I'm not happy about this.
Damo, he just lost his
I way. Like in the promos how the judge gets somebody to film him actually doing the promo and then he puts it on Instagram it's just something to put on there.
It's just a hook. We call it a social media
really?
Hook, Duke.
Yep. That's like Duke's 6x6 thing before.
Poor old David Teague sitting at home on his couch. He's thinking, oh, the Blues are flying. We nearly got up the last week against Melbourne and things are going beautifully. Well,
and here's my hero coming up.
Don't you tumble into this as well.
Juddy. I love Juddy.
I factually did not say anything about
he's Juddy's been my rock, Juddy.
Let's just have a listen to Juddy's week.
We're pretty clear on the attributes we want from our next coach and which attributes are more of a priority than others. I think we've said that publicly. We want an experienced coach that can take us to the next level. We don't want someone with training wheels on.
Really interesting words. Spoke to Carlton today, rang Kane Little, the Carlton chief executive, back page of the Herald Sun today. He said no one's been ruled in or ruled out. He wouldn't comment on Chris Judd's commentary.
I thought that he disrespected the current coach completely. He dismissed him. Absolutely dismissed him. That's not his job.
Do you class David Teague as having training wheels on, or is he someone who's seen to be in the mix for this job?
Oh, he's getting some really good coaching experience now.
I actually hope that Chris Judd and Carlton have spoken to David Teague before he went on air last night.
That's poor, because he should apologise completely to David Teague, because that was absolutely ordinary at best.
And before we get to Juddy to respond to all of that, Howie, David Teague himself spoke today.
I speak to Chris regularly, and I'm very comfortable where the club's at. I think we've got the right people in place to make that call, and I've got no issue at all with it. Right now, I'm just enjoying the process. I'm having a ball. I'm loving it. At the end of that time, I'll learn a lot about myself, and at the end of the year, I'll have a chat then and see where I'm at, and I'll have a better understanding of whether I think I'm ready to go or not.
Darce, so I was watching the Aussie top order facing Jofra Archer last night, and a very similar situation for our man. He's got a lot of short balls this week, and he probably played them about as well as the Aussie top order team.
He looks unhappy. I'm not getting a sense that there's any humour attached to our man, judge, tonight.
Well, yeah. Joviality.
I factually didn't say that about David Teague.
Was that a clever impersonator?
I said
he got rocketed.
I said that about
trying to work out. Sounded a lot like you, Judd, man.
I said that about our next coach. They're the attribution. I didn't say David Teague's got training wheels on. He's got 12 years of coaching experience. He's been at 4 clubs. He's coached his own VFL side. He's now coaching his own AFL side. That would qualify as not having training wheels, for the record.
Okay.
Is that clear?
Grand wheel.
Brownie's laughing his own jokes.
No, I'm with you on this one, Jody.
The overreaction. Seriousness.
You were there.
Yeah. Let's be serious for a moment, because it's a serious issue. Off you go, Chris.
No, we were there. I didn't make those comments about David Teague. The context got changed, and all of a sudden those comments were saying they were directed at David Teague, which they weren't at the time. And David Teague came into that conversation post those comments.
Correct. And also, too, we had the same conversation effectively on the Friday Huddle last week. You said, at least paraphrasing what you said on the Monday
Little
night.
In Brendan Bolton's press conference said we need someone, in his words, who can get their seat under the desk on day one and take this club to the next level. The messaging has been consistent. It was mischievous that the context was changed and people have taken it and run with it, but that's life, Duke, isn't it?
Well, you copped a couple of bounces back. As I haven't heard any of that. I had no idea what was about to be played, so I'm hearing it for the first time. So the couple of shots fired your way, that sounded like Mark McClure, Sellers firing one your way, Mark Robinson. Do you think you've been unfairly targeted on the back of being taken out of context?
Yeah, I think it's grubby to change the context around someone's quote to create some potential conflict and elicit emotion in football fans who we know are emotional by nature and don't have the time to sift through media with the same level of scrutiny as journalists should.
Did you have to ring David Teague on the back of that? Did you feel like that?
No, I speak to him every week anyway. So I spoke to him the next day, which I would have in any case. Wednesdays is their day off from the club. We spoke about that briefly, but he understands how the game works, the media's there to elicit emotion, and that article ended up doing that to great effect.
And Darcy, I mean, Chris obviously can't say this, but when Carlton made the decision to move on Brendan Bolton, similar to what North did to move on Brad Scott, but they did not do it with David Teague in mind. Now, he's had a really good 4 weeks. He's 2-2, and the two losses have been really hard-fought matches in which he's lost. So he could have had a clean slate, but when they made that decision only 4 weeks ago, he wasn't in their reckoning, David
Teague.
But
to be clear, neither me nor anyone else at the club is ruling him or anyone else in or out of this process. But whoever comes in needs to be a competent coach from day one, not a coach that's not competent yet with a heap of potential and will be competent in the future. That's not what we're looking for.
Did you speak to any of the gentlemen that made those comments during the week, or you just let it go?
I rang Robbo in the morning when I first saw the headline because I was annoyed at it. I didn't get through to him. And then I had a busy day on Tuesday or whenever it was, and then I'd moved on.
Now, that's the only part I find factually incorrect, that you had a busy day. You had a busy day. I'm struggling to buy that part of it. The idea of interim coaches being judged as full-time coaches, to me, makes no sense at all, because you are sitting in a sweet spot where you have no expectation, where you have no decisions that you've been responsible for. It is a false economy, that one.
Yep. And I think it's a free hit.
We sit there and go, oh, that's got him. Reece Shaw's had 4 wins. Give him the job. What are we talking about? Yeah. We don't know what skill set he's got outside of that. When you start axing players, when the media pressure comes, when next year the expectation changes, there is very little correlation between what an interim coach is doing in my mind and a full-time coach.
You think it becomes too much of an emotive decision at the time?
Hysteria about it, too. You speak to, why wouldn't you just hand the keys over now? They've won 3 or 4 games. Surely that's the case. I mean, it's a much more complex role than what an interim coach is set to do, which is just steer the side to the end of the year. No pressure, no expectation. They could lose 10 games and there's no expectation. It's a very different setup to
this. The science of it does. There's two clubs going through it now. And we'll talk about this after the break, how I expect a third club in the next probably fortnight to add itself to the list in St Kilda. But you've been through it. You've found someone who was ultimately to become a premiership coach. What did you look for from the outset?
Well, I think you're talking about Luke Beveridge, and a lot of people wouldn't have understood his history and his skill set. He worked outside of football all his life. He worked in departments where he was in charge of a couple of hundred people. He worked at the Australian Tax Office. He'd been an educator. He coached his own side for 3 years in the VAFA down at Mentone. They'd been successful. He'd been involved at clubs with intimate success. He had a breadth of knowledge and a breadth of leadership that was very unique, Luke Beveridge. So it was pretty easy. When you saw that portfolio of works, it's a pretty compelling story that he had.
Anything, Nate? You've had one of these sort of vague outs for the last 7 or 8 minutes.
No, I've been pretty quiet. I've just been kicking back and listening to, first of all, Damo, the judge, and Duke bring up some pretty good points, but I've got a different point of view that I'm going to bring up after the break.
Oh, really?
Are you doing throws to the break now?
Throw my own work.
After the break. It's not an hour-long thing.
So stick around, because Nate's got a different point of view. Can you maybe
Barley over
give us a little teaser about what that might be?
We've now got two teasers going in.
We do.
In 15 minutes.
One for the next segment, one for about 3 hours' time. Damo's got big news still to come revolving around the coaching situation. We'll get to that shortly after he told us that John Longmire has reconnected. For how long, Damo?
It's an additional 3 years to the one he already had. So right now through until the end of 2023, officially, contractually, Sydney Swans coach, leaving North Melbourne without its main choice.
Okay, more coaching news to come shortly. Extraordinarily going into the break. Das, our man Nate, who hadn't spoke in the first 15 minutes of the show, threw a little teaser in.
He did. Yeah, he said, I've got an alternative opinion. Stick around.
Sometimes I have bouts of quietness, Howard. I'm not the best small talk conversationalist to people I don't know, so sometimes I like to go from a different angle, and I come from the angle of David Teague in this whole situation with Juddy, and I put it down for some lyrics. Here it is.
Juddy, 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 you don't want me all blue no more. Juddy, 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 you don't want me no blue no more. Now the truth, and it hurts to say, we beat the Dockers in Perth without Cripper and McKay. You want me to split? I know you're busy.
What's going on here?
It must be hard work being ambassador for Vizzy. Beaten by a goal by Jaden Hunt. When it sailed through, I thought you headband wearing. And the truth, I think it's unfair. Are you sure it's my training wheels and not the thickness of my hair? Oh, Juddy, 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 you don't want me a blue no more. Juddy, 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 you don't want me no blue no more.
It's been a busy week for me.
Oh, what was that? Shit.
Dash, you're the leader of this shit. It's time for you to leave.
I think we suspend him.
Get the boy.
I think we suspend Brownie. Him back.
Glad Nate treated the issue with the seriousness that I was hoping the whole group would. It's a good time to get behind me after a challenging first
Did
week.
You write that yourself, Nate? I need to know.
I did. Yeah. It was a busy week. It was a very busy week.
Okay.
You sang it yourself too.
Yep. We can never unhear that. That was you singing. At what stage of the week were you just sort of doing your thing in front of your sports bet account and thought, hang on, I've got an idea here?
It came to me today.
Right.
And I sent it through to Snorkel, the big nose producer, and he decided
he let himself
to take
down
a bit
badly.
did he sign off on it before?
It was his
you...
idea.
Oh, Nate. Howie. We've known him for a long time, Howard, but I think that's a. That's a new low for the show.
I've just been told.
Was it encore?
There is video of Nate singing this, we will get it up on Triple M social shortly.
Just trying to crunch the numbers on what this is going to cost us all in our career.
took a few takes. It did.
Well, we had a good period in the ratings, but Nate might have undone that in the space of 2 minutes.
I can just picture Juddy sitting down at the Carlton board table, and there's Jeannie Pratt, and there's Big LeJude, the president, and Kane Little's come in for his report, and they press play on and just go, mate, who are these imbeciles that you spend time? Could you give that a run at the board, that board level, Juddy? Just say, this is what I've got to do. This is what I sacrifice.
Yeah. Juddy, I've often thought if push comes to shove and the board says to you it's the board or the show, I thought you'd stick with us, but now I think it's a when question, and now I'm not sure you've got our back.
Well, he doesn't get paid to go on the board, though, Howie. Well, he likes a dollar. So.
Plenty to come on the show. 10 to 7, Shane Warne is going to join us. 5 past 7, Adam Simpson. 20 past 7, Brenton Sanderson. I ask you as a group, is it okay to be in your mid-40s, which I am, and wake up this morning and be nervous, Damo, before you look at the phone to decide whether we are in the World Cup final or not? I was absolutely shattered this morning when I saw that result.
Look, I think it is, and obviously you can only react the way your body allows you to react. I had the same reaction, and my heart sank last night from that sporting context when Maxwell went out and popped the ball up out to cover off the short ball. So I had the same reaction to you, Howie. I just had it at the time, and I've been doing it a lot during the tournament with this England time zone where you wake up and check the results, and I've had a few moments like that.
You know, I find the Australian cricket team, it resonates with in a way that surprised. I got home last night about 9 o'clock from the airport, and I flicked it on, and I was watching it, and I was swearing at the TV when the wrong'un got Stoinis out. I let fly with it. Just my little 8-year-old Maxie came in. What's happened? I said, you're not going to believe it. When Australia goes badly, I become a very bad sport in cricket. It just annoys me big time, particularly with the Poms.
Well, I think we're on the Kiwis now, aren't we? We've got to back the Kiwis.
How do you back for New Zealand?
Oh, I love New Zealand.
You can't back
the Poms. They bat above their weight all the time.
You blokes love it when I drop a name. I'm going to drop two on you. I'm getting feedback on my phone to Nate's song, which Brendan Favola has sent me one of those emojis of someone spewing. That's Fev's work. And Australia's greatest comedian, and that Nath Brown song, ?
Yeah. Yeah, they were all our thoughts.
Good on your head.
Will Anderson.
That's Will Anderson. That's Will Anderson sent that through. You've rattled me, Nath. I'm not sure where to go with this show now. Damo, you've told us about John Longmire. What else is floating around? Because now that little...
Do you know what I love about it? Nate couldn't care at all. He hasn't missed a beat on the back. I would be beside myself having now.
What are you going to say when you go home and Christina says, how'd the show go?
She hasn't listened to the show. We're going to see her tonight at dinner. You can tell her
how
we've got
dinner.
Be listening to the show next week.
Are you embarrassed?
It's interesting. We have got
it's all tonight.
We've got dinner, and something needs to be raised because it's the fourth time we've had dinner. We're handing over to Dennis Cometti and Lockie Reed to call the game there. So it's been very nice to organise in the past, Darce, where all of us take our wives.
We do,
and we have a nice dinner. I've organised a babysitter. You've organised.
I caught
things.
An Uber here.
That's
Beck
right.
Will be joining me after the show, which would be fantastic. But we've got an issue.
We do.
For the first time.
No.
Why isn't Beck coming?
Well, I mean, last time Nate
This is Juddy's wife, Bad Beck.
Last time Nate forgot his conversation wedges, and there was apparently a few awkward things. I didn't think much of it, and she was coming tonight, but she did just say, can you text me when you get there if Brownie's coming. Which I thought was weird. And I text her and she just texts back saying she's come down with the flu. She's incredibly ill. Well, she seemed fine when I left this morning.
It's okay. You can just lose one of the cue cards I've got. It's
okay. We knew it was a mistake. Seating Brownie next to Beck Judd last time. It was a horrible mistake for the team.
Well, we've had four dinners now. Beck's pulled out with the flu three times.
What was the one, Dust, that the conversation started that you heard him say to someone many, many years ago about, do you own a dog?
At least an hour and a half silence, and he turned around to the person next to him, it was a female, and he said, do you like pets? After an hour and a half silence. That freaks people out, Nate. I'm here to tell you.
She said she did.
And he's since admitted that he goes home now with cue cards to speak to
Can we just be honest? How many in the room had their wife say to them this morning, can you please make sure I don't sit next to you? I'll put my hand up.
My wife, very fond of Brownie.
My wife goes
a long way. You're
on your own over there. Okay.
You don't want me, you'll do no more. That's taken over.
It's got a good beat to it.
That's taken over from your mum singing at the grand final.
What song was it? Meant to be.
It's on your data.
Damo, get rid of that, Leroy. It's bursting and hurting my ears. Damo, we'll continue on with the news theme.
Yeah, and just to repeat that John Longmire re-signing with the Sydney Swans all the way through until the end of 2023, leaving North Melbourne without its main pursuit in replacing Brad Scott. The coaching theme is one that's been a dominant one of 2019 already, and in the next fortnight or so, I believe Alan Richardson's name will be added to the list. Now, that's not going to shock anyone, but the timing of it is now apparent for the Saints. They've got a really tough game tomorrow night, Juddy, against the Cats down at the Cattery. And there just comes a stage of a season where the Saints won't be able to make the finals. And my take on that is that will be the moment that the club knows that Alan Richardson can't meet the requirements in his contract to go into 2020. And as such, the mathematics on that will mean that they can move. And look, he is well aware of his scenario too, Darce. It's not as if it's going to be a shock to him when this conversation happens. It's unfortunate, but it's his sixth season. He's won six games this year. And in isolation, it's been a really good year. Mm-hmm. But it can't be viewed in isolation, given he's had five before, also without finals.
Any idea of, you say he's well aware of that, and clearly he would be if you've got a contract, then he would have been coaching for those numbers. People that have been involved, it's a small industry. Alan Richardson's one of the great people in our industry. He's a sensational individual.
Ripping fella, is he?
He's just a solid human
being. As most people are in the foot industry.
Yeah, and he's right at the top of the tree for me, Richo. Is he resigned to the fact that's going to happen in a couple of weeks?
I think he's still fighting the fight, Darce. As you'd expect, anyone with a competitive bone in their makeup, and he has. So until the mathematics becomes real, he's going to fight. He'll be going down to the Cattery, as weird as it sounds, hoping to win the game of footy. No one's going to think he will, but that's what he'll be thinking and hoping. So that's his fight to have. But look, I feel that Brett Ratten will most likely take over as the caretaker when that moment happens. And he's certainly going to be in the mix for conversations that are held beyond that moment as well. Now, whether he gets the job, I don't know. Brad Scott is also going to figure prominently in the St Kilda discussions. But, yeah, it's all to play out. And I expect something to happen now before the end of the season, given that the clauses in the contract are of a nature of that type.
Take Alan Richardson out of the equation, just coaching in general for all you football luminaries here. If you're going to tell your coach, pardon me, during the season that his reign is over, who should make the decision, Dar? Should you let the coach decide whether he wants to go on? Should the club let the coach decide to go on for the rest of the season? Or should you get someone in for the remaining 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 weeks?
Well, it's very
such a delicate issue, isn't it?
The only thing that makes sense to me, you get a circuit breaker for a club, and we've seen what's happened when, you know, with Carlton. It gives the members and it gives the fans something to hang their hat on, and it gives a bit of excitement to the group. So I can understand why clubs do that. North Melbourne, you can start building your future immediately once you make that decision. And, you know, it's a commercial operation. You need to get members and supporters believing the future. So I think it's pretty hard to stick around once you know that you're gone.
Well, I think most coaches probably wouldn't want to stick around either. When they know that they're gone, they're being told, okay, do you want to coach out there? I don't think
too many clubs offer them to coach out the rest of the season. And I think most coaches say, I think for the footy club, I think I need to move on.
Particularly for an extended period of time. If it's one game to go, my memory serves it correctly, Rats coached out his last game once he'd been told his services weren't required anymore by the club. But to still coach 7 or 8 games, I think's asking too much.
And just to black over that too, when I say Alan Richardson is aware that the club has brought him along with the conversations and they have not yet said that it's absolutely over, but he's got an awareness that it's heading that particular way. Another story out of the week, it's worth discussing now, is the Tony Cochran situation at the Gold Coast Suns. I spoke with him during the week and they're now going to pitch to the AFL Commission at its August meeting to have a priority pick, and they're going in hard. It may be an ambit claim, but they're going in to get the number one pick in the draft. And that will be if they finish bottom of the ladder, which we all expect them now to do, to get the priority pick at number one and then have their own pick at effectively number two. So there's going to be a lot of pushback from every other club about that. And I'd be surprised if it got through, but that's how hard they're going in with the request for assistance that goes outside the normal protocols.
If they get it knocked back, and most people think they probably would get the pick number one knocked back because having pick one number two is a bit outrageous, where do you think it would land? Do you think they'll get one, and where would that pick
be? Probably in the middle of the first round somewhere, and if not the middle, at the back end.
So 19?
I think it'll be, say, 11 or 12. There is scope to put it anywhere they want.
Could you see the AFL mandating that they trade that for a senior player? Because they don't, I mean, they need good young players, but they don't need them as badly as they need some senior players that can start playing good footy straight away.
Yeah, I would think that's an option well worth exploring. Yeah, I really do. And I think one that the AFL is well aware of too, given the problems at that club now in its 9th year.
Do you think it's short-sighted if you're just looking at the playing list for that club?
Yeah, I do.
What sort of other assistance should they be looking for? Should they be looking for soft cap relief so they can spend more on development coaches?
Development's a crucial part of what they're lacking. And I think that the conversation needs to be had as a big picture.
You wouldn't be
what are they doing in this
too
region?
Far up the road, Damo, to the Brisbane Lions and what they got really good people in really good roles. Some of their strategy around their recruiting with country people and pairing up have been really smart, really strategic in what they've done. And I think it shows that wasn't without priority picks or extra concessions. I think there's a model there that worked pretty well.
All right, it is now time for...
In the world of AFL, there is one modern-day player that rises above all else.
I'd be happy to put my name up as the chairman.
Whose opinions and judgments we respect.
I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
The situations are real. The verdicts are final. This is Judge Juddy.
This is professionalism, Darcy, because a lot of people in Juddy's boots this week wouldn't have had the time to prepare.
That would have been too emotional, probably.
They would have.
Would have got them.
But our man is coming confident and ready to go as always.
And I'm going
to
be a little bit self-indulgent this week, Howard, which I don't like to do. Are you comfortable with that?
Hang on.
Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
Take that as a yes. So first, best on ground votes this week actually go to Janos. Now, you'll ask who Janos is.
Who's Janos?
Janos was a homeless guy that used to hang around Sandy, who when we were 15 would buy us our alcohol. We'd give him our money. He would keep the change. We'd have our Tui's red long necks. It was what we call in the industry a win-win. And I was reminded of Janos this week when I read about the ice cream challenge, which have been taking the world by storm. Duke, have you
I haven't come across the ice cream challenge.
No. Ice cream challenge is the latest viral prank taking the internet by storm, whereby you walk into the supermarket, Purple, you take off the lid to a tub of ice cream.
It's a classy act.
You lick the ice cream, put the lid back on, put it back in the freezer, only to be eaten by an unsuspecting customer in the foreseeable future. Now, I thought of Janos because I remember walking into the Coles supermarket in Sandringham and seeing Janos there, whose hands were covered in dirt, which such is the custom when you don't have access to a home or a shower.
Of course.
And he would open up the jar of gherkins, put his mitts inside the gherkin,
really?
Scoff one or two, put the lid back on and put the jar of gherkins back on the fridge at the Sandringham Coles. Now, I wasn't able to eat gherkins for a couple of years after I witnessed this, Howard, but it did make me think of the great man today that he's now inspired a worldwide movement.
Three votes. Time, Janos.
The ice cream challenge. So the best on ground votes this week go to Janos.
I can see it going more viral, ice cream, than gherkins.
I think so. Yeah, well, potentially, but it's obviously evolved from Janos's time.
Okay, three for him.
Worst on ground votes this week. One vote goes to this guy in the US.
A man called an Uber to deliver a baby bird to a rehab center when he just couldn't do it himself.
At first it was a joke, like, hey, maybe we should just call it Uber, you know? And then we're like, no, really, why not? We're paying him.
I'll tell you why you don't call an Uber if you're pissed and there's a bird on the ground sick, because birds are germ-infested creatures that aren't toilet trained, Duke. That's the main reason why you don't call an Uber. And this is, this has had a personal effect on me because, as you know, Judd Corp's workload is quite cyclical. And yes. I'm thinking about getting into a little bit of Uber driving when demand is lower. And if I do get into Uber driving, I don't want to be picking up half-dead birds at the behest of piss blokes, Duke. So he gets the one vote this week. Two votes go to this guy in a US bagel shop who was angry about the service in the bagel shop, but also angry about some of the treatment he was getting on dating sites.
Why is it okay for women to say, oh, you're 5 feet on dating sites? You should be dead. That's okay?
Who said that to you here? Nobody.
Women in general have said it on dating sites. You think I'm making that up? Yeah. Everywhere I go, I get the same smirk with the biting lip. Shut your mouth. You're not God or my father or my boss. Dude, you want to step outside? You want to step outside? Huh? I'm not scared of you, pal.
Enough.
You shut up, too.
Shut the f*** up.
Go ahead and attack me.
Oh, my God. I just wanted bagels.
Busy week at Judd Corp.
Did you get cream cheese with it?
My favourite bit is I just wanted bagels by the witness at the end. I mean, what you don't see in that audio is just how small this guy is. That's giving lip to everyone. He's Howie small. That's how small he is. And
that's real small man syndrome. That is
small.
The commotion at the end is a normal sized guy who looks like Andre the Giant. Just bear hugging the American Howie. And
how did I get
wedged
into that story? So it's your little man.
They're the two votes. Three votes this week go to people biting off more than they can chew and potentially hurting my stock portfolio.
Police had no idea what they would find when they pulled over a Ford for an expired tag at 11 a.m. in Guthrie. In the driver's seat, Stephen Jennings and passenger Rachel Rivera, and someone or something else, too.
In the back seat, there was another passenger who happened to be a timber rattlesnake.
About the same time, Jennings told officers he had a pistol in the console. Next to the gun was an open bottle of Kentucky Deluxe whiskey. And to top it all off, a canister of radioactive powdered uranium.
Now, Judd Corp is strategically long uranium, Howard. We've got a verdict any day now on the Section 232 petition in the US, which is going to transform the uranium market. These idiots are driving around putting the whole movement at risk, Duke. So they get the three votes for worst on ground.
If YouTube went down for a day, how short would your day at Judd Corp be? I think it's a turn up at 9. YouTube's not working, boys. Let's knock it on the head for the day.
Straight back home.
Damo, more news, please.
Stephen Cornelio, now that he's got to round 17 as a free agent, clearly something's going on because we were told by his coach at the start of the year, Brownie, even before the first game of the season, that an announcement and a re-signing was imminent. We got told by Cornelio himself about four rounds in that he was close. His management said, we'll wait for the bye period and we'll sort it out then and get back to you. And here we are now with seven games remaining and the offers are coming thick, fast and getting bigger by the moment. With Carlton, Juddy, your club, I don't expect you to comment, but your club is clearly now leading the way to Stephen Cornelio's mind about a potential departure from the goal from the GWS Giants.
What's big, Damo, when you said the offers are starting to get big?
It's certainly beyond the seven-figure number.
Ooh,
and it's just a matter of how big you want to take it from there. He will get that number or thereabouts, Howie, to stay at the Giants. And I felt all year that he will, and I still do as we report this tonight. But at the same time, history in other examples says when you get to this time of the year, Brownie, there's clearly a reason for it.
There is. And imagine the filler for Carlton. And obviously, Judge can't talk about it too much. But you've got Sam Walsh who's come in, who's a jet. You've got Paddy Cripps, who's one of the favourite for the Brownlows. And you bring in this guy who can get it 30, 32 times. Looks like a real good type of person to go with that. But also a midfielder who kicks goals. They're like gold. There's not many midfielders who regularly kick goals. And he is one of those. I think Carlton are set up at either end right now. I think they need that extra bit of class through the midfield, and they could really do some damage next year. So too, obviously, Essendon, if they got him, or Hawthorn, but I just think the where he could take the Blues midfield would be something special.
Jody, without commenting on Cornelio specifically, there does appear from the outside looking in to be scope to go pretty big again into that trade space.
Yeah, so if we separate Cornelio, I feel like I've got to talk to all the listeners like they're grade two learners at the minute. But if we separate that...
Only the journos.
The strategy that... Stephen Silvani articulated from the start was to go to the draft for 3 years, which him and his team have done, and then to start building the list with some more mature age talent. And so that's the phase we're in now. We've got some scope in our salary cap to do that. And we publicly said that's the plan.
And given, Howie, that Dylan Shield was a major pursuit last year, and that went right down to the wire, even the last few moments of trade period, despite him publicly declaring Essendon his cup of choice, which is where he got to. Clearly, they were about to and prepared to spend that sort of money on someone else last year. The money's still there.
All right, Damo, you and I were discussing pre-show. Is it okay for middle-aged men to be absolutely gutted by a result in a sporting event a la the cricket? Our next guest, I'll be interested to see, after he has been the best cricketer we've ever seen and probably the best commentator we've ever seen as well, whether he gets shattered when Australia goes down. Mm. His name is Shane Warne. He now joins us from the UK. Good morning to you, Warney. Good evening for us. How are you, great man?
Yeah, g'day, Howie. How are you, boys? Bit flat after yesterday, being over here in England and copping it off the pond. Been a bit flat yesterday with our performance.
Can you separate it, Shane, when you're in the commentary box? You're obviously the best in the business of providing comments, but do you get that sinking feeling that we all got when Finch went and then Warner went and then Hanscom went directly after it, 3 for 16?
Yeah, it's one of those things. Once you sort of, you know, the first 10 overs are always going to set the tone, and you thought, well, if Finch and Warner can get off to a flyer, then we can post a big score, and suddenly post a score, we defend those scores really well. But after being 3 for nothing and in all sorts of trouble, and what England brought to the table, a lot of intensity and some good skills early on, the ball was nipping about. And when poor Finchie went first ball to a ripper, then Warner copped a ripper, you go, geez, the Poms are on. And it's one of those things that it looks like it's not going to be our day, but who's going to fight? That's what I was looking for. And you sort of thought, once Carey and Smith were going, you thought, oh, hang on a minute, if we can post a 250, 260 score here, we're actually a chance, because the wicket was doing a bit, but unfortunately it wasn't to be, and we sort of did pretty well to make a 225 score.
Warney, was it more England were just outstanding and really beat us, or did we not come to the party in this game?
Well, I think England, to be fair, they outplayed us. They brought a lot more intensity to us. They executed their skills better. But I was disappointed with you can't go well. You post 225, it hasn't gone well. So the second part, which is our strength, which is our bowling and fielding, I thought we just lacked a bit of, well, I can't really swear on radio, but we lacked a little bit of, I suppose, with the ball. I would have thought Mitchell Stark should have bowled the first over with Pat Cummins and just absolutely given it to him. A lot of short balls, a lot of aggression, good body language, some intensity in the field, throw the ball around and really let England know they're in a contest. But we sort of didn't do that, and England just came out and smacked us. And after the first 10, I think they were 57, it was game over.
Warney, like you said, you were looking out for which guys were going to stand there and fight, and Steve Smith was the one that really stood out in that department. Is he still the natural leader for this team, and do you think he'll be made captain again?
I like Steve Smith just as a player at the moment. I think he could be captain again, yes. But at the moment, I think he's just let him back. He's our best batsman. He's class. He's one of the best in the world. So I'd like to see him just bat. I was disappointed Khawaja left, but I was injured. But I thought Steve Smith should have batted number 3 the whole World Cup. He played fantastically well. So he gave us a bit of a chance. And I thought Alex Carey was brave. Copped a real nasty one off Jofra Archer. You know, it was quick. And I'm not sure how bad his draw is today, but it was shades of Rick McCosker in the centenary test with the bandages around it, and you thought, go on, and I thought we were a chance there. But, Smith and Carey, there wasn't too many other shining lights. Probably Pat Cummins, but not too many more.
Warney, the cricket talk's depressing me big time. Couldn't handle watching it last night, but I know you love your footy. I know you love your Saints as much as anyone. Damien Barrett reporting tonight that in all likelihood you're going to be in the search for a new coach. You study the game. If you could land a coach to St Kilda, who would it be?
The Saints, you know, you look at the teams they've beaten with only 6 wins, it hasn't been that great, but you look at the injury list they've had and the actual list. The list is not that great. There's no real A-plus players and that. So, look, it's one of those seasons. If that's the case, the question you're asked me to ask is who's... I mean, Alistair Clarkson, you'd probably say, is the best in the business. He's not going anywhere by the sound of it. I would say if you can't get a super-duper coach, I mean, who's around? You've got to look at the list that's around. If you can't have the guys like Alistair Clarkson, I'm not sure who there's around. Maybe Scott, who's left Geelong, could be a chance. I think he's good mates with Lethaline. I might have to make a call to Andrew Bass and say, get the lowdown and say, rightio, Bass, what's happening?
Hey, Warnie, more importantly, we've got some real issues with your mate Howard over here, who you co-commentate with. We feel like he's got ahead of himself with his big cricket deals. He's $6 by $600,000 a year. He has changed. He doesn't speak to little people anymore. He's not as respectful to people as what he used to be. And it's been a common theme in his life at the moment.
Well, that's the word on the street, but I don't believe it. Howie, with his shorts and thongs in the middle of winter, is still rocking it everywhere.
Have you
and
heard
I'm
him?
Sure Howie's...
Sorry to interrupt.
Thank you, Shane.
Have you heard him refer to himself as the Sheik of Speak, as opposed to the Sheik of Tweet?
Well, I thought he was outstanding over the summer on Fox, mate. It'll be good at rocking it again this year. Some great insights. It was good fun to work with him, mate. I'm not sure how you guys are handling it, but maybe you guys need to lift.
Now the great man is talking sense. Now we're hearing some sense. Shane, I don't really understand poker. I see you went to Vegas. From what I could understand, it looked like you were three down, chasing 150, and you were 110 and cruising, and then you lost seven for.
It was a little bit like that. I didn't go that well on the tables. I sort of did pretty well outside the tables, but I didn't really do that great.
Hey, Warnie,
on many levels, but yeah, the poker wasn't great.
Hey, Warnie, who wins the World Cup final?
I think England will blow New Zealand away. We thought that against India, though, in the semis. New Zealand always find a way to sort of stay in the game. They never get blown away too much, but I think England are just peaking at the right time. It hurts to say that. But, you know, they had to win the last two games against India and New Zealand. They smashed them both, and then they blew Aussies away yesterday. They've got a lot of firepower, a lot of X-factor players, a lot of match winners. So they're going to be tough to beat. But at Lords, I don't know. It's just World Cup final. They've never won one. And New Zealand will be better for the run after losing to Australia in 2015 at the MCG. I think they'll know a little bit more about how to win. So none of these countries, England or New Zealand, have won a World Cup, but one will definitely have won one after Sunday. So it's going to be huge. It's massive here in England, as you can imagine. But I think England are just going to be, they've just got too much firepower for New Zealand.
And Shane, you're back in the country shortly. What will you be doing when you return home?
Yeah, I leave on Monday, back in Melbourne Tuesday. I've got a few things on back there, and we're launching my clothing range on July 23. So I've got some clothing, some cricket apparel that's coming out, but also some golfing apparel, which is good. So if you want to play golf, and our point of difference from all the other stuff going out is that you can design your own. So if you want a blue sleeves, Howie, with a black chest or whatever you can design your own stuff. So that's pretty cool. Looking forward to it, and hope you guys can turn up and try the gear on.
You'll need a kid's range if you're going to dig Howie out. let's be honest with you. You'd love to get into Warnie's equipment. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Can't wait to... what's it called? Warnie, is it just Shane Warne apparel?
Yeah, SW23, yep. Mate. It's pretty cool. It's going to be really good. You guys bring a truck and back it up, you guys will look good.
Sounds Shane, great. You're a star. We look forward to seeing you on Fox Cricket over the summer, and enjoy the rest of the World Cup. We'll see you back in Australia shortly.
Nah, thanks for having me, boys. And give us the heads up if you know anything about the Saints, Star. So I would like to know who's doing it.
Well, you might have been on the money with Brad Scott, I reckon. I think that might make a bit of sense. He's a connected man, Woody. So I'll just ring the president.
Yes.
And the president will turn. That's the way he rolls, Shane Warne. We love it.
That little backwards clip didn't really work your way, did it, Nate?
No, it didn't.
That'll be my new ringtone, I reckon. Well done to Shane Warne. This man, who's had 2 weeks to prepare his top five, Luke Darcy, is here.
And I was sitting by the pool in Bali, Howard,
yes.
And it came to me as I was sunning myself that this could revolutionise the AFL. We need to legislate mid-year. The whole industry shuts down for a week. The whole industry, AFL, players, coaches, media, especially media.
Especially.
Maybe 2 weeks.
I like it.
So everyone needs to, so there's a blanket ban. No one speaks AFL. No one writes about it.
Freshen up.
Journos
don't write about it.
You don't write about it for at least a week. You go away, Dame. I'll get to you in a minute. So, I'll give you a bit of a reason why, because the footy industry loses its mind this time of the year, Juddy. It goes insane. We just heard about you getting misquoted and taken out of context. People go insane. And a whole heap of feuds open up, Brownie, this time. So I'm going to give you the top five feuds so far of 2019 that could be avoided if we legislated for a week off. So the obvious one that I read about was KB versus Craig Hutchinson. Now, a statement was released by KB and it said, I'd like to acknowledge the professional way in which Craig Hutchinson has handled my resignation and appreciate the kind comments in his press statement. Now, I'll decode that for you. What that means is... this is what KB really thinks. I hate Hutchie's guts with a passion. I hope he dies a slow, painful death. And the only reason in my previous statement that I acknowledged him in a positive way is that I got paid out in full. And that is the only way. That is your regulation feud that happens because no one gets a break. Now, I'll give you an example of another feud this year. It's Howard versus Buzz Rothfield.
Oh, that's it's been very ugly.
Now, that's a classic garden variety feud that could be avoided.
Not
now,
the top
Buzz
15.
Excluded Howie from his top 75 players. And look, you cracked it. You cracked it big time. Mid-year break, maybe Howard and Buzz could go away together.
Break a bit of bread.
Break a bit of bread, sort out the feud. Life would be happier, how we move on in a better point. Way. Number three, now there's some contractual reasons with the Seven Network. Well, I've got to be a little bit careful about this. But this man, I promise you, Damo, needs... a legislated mid-year break more than anyone else. His name's Brian Taylor.
Yes.
Now, I've been away for a couple of weeks. He normally explodes this time of year. Damon, how's he travelling?
He's gone absolutely headless dust in the past fortnight or so. I overheard him twice at the MCG last week abusing Triple M staff over him being the only person of any stature in his eyes anyway that was still there. And low point for him was last Sunday when he was in Tassie in the Twilight slot and he was with Nigel Carmody calling for Channel 7 and he's calling with people he doesn't even know. So he's headless. He's headless.
Let's have a, this is a little example of the lunacy that overcomes people like Brian this time. You have a listen.
I totally refute and deny all of your allegations.
They're not allegations, Brian. They're allegations. Been 27 years, layer upon layer upon
this
layer,
could be a
of being prepared to go with this, Brian.
They're unproven.
You bug on the match committee.
On his feet, Bristle. He's up and on his
this
feet.
Could be a huge story tomorrow. I'm telling you now, Damo, there are going to be repercussions over this.
There will be. You might be disbarred.
You have just...
You might lose your radio license.
I might never be able to coach again.
Get him away for a week. Get him away. He needs a spell big time. Now, this feud pains me. This one's a bit closer to home.
Number
and
two.
I consider they're number two. No, at least I consider both of these people friends of mine, the Judd Man and Gary Lyon. There's some layers to this feud. Yeah. Let's just go back and have a listen to how it all started.
Lie to us all you want, but don't get shitty when we don't believe you.
No, that's I don't understand.
That's the game. I know the game. I've been in it long enough.
But you're saying, though, that Chris Judd should go. He should fall on his sword.
They won't go. I'm holding them to account for what they said 2 weeks ago. When you back your man in unequivocally and 2 weeks later you sack him, Johnny, the right thing would be to go.
That's all right. Gary's entitled to his opinion. You won't be surprised. No, I don't look him as a shining light on how I should... act, so that's his call, and so be it.
Starting to build a nice portfolio of feuds out, man, isn't he? He takes them down one by one.
Kevin Bartlett last year, Colin.
And he goes the man too, I love it.
It's funny you mentioned. Have a listen to what he said to a Hall of Fame legend.
He said that in his eyes, there is a black texter through the 2006 Premiership because of the Eagles winning it in the way they won it. How do you feel as captain of that team?
Oh, look, I mean, Kevin's got a long personal history of struggling to come to terms with things and struggling to move on. I think, you know, it took him two decades to work out he was going bald and finally get rid of the world's rudest comb over. I guess by Kevin's timelines, a decade on, he's probably not ready to process it and move on.
That was mid-year again.
Standard this time of year, the industry loses its mind. Feuds erupt. And let's be honest, Kevin's not known for getting over things in a real hurry. So that'll stay with him for life. Imagine a week off, KB and Jody could get together.
Be good.
And have some time off. Legislate. The whole industry has a week off. Now, this man is very close to home. He creates feuds for a living.
He does.
So that's what he does. The Scott brothers want to kill him.
No,
Luke Beveridge wants to kill him.
He does, yeah.
Justin Leppich wants to kill him.
That's true.
Scotty Clayton
wants to kill him. Luke Hodge wants to kill him now this year.
No, we're good.
Mark Robinson wants to kill him
this year.
Mate, even Potsy. Even Potsy now wants to kill him. You fight Potsy up. Potsy's taken the baseball bat to you as well.
For those who don't know who Potsy is.
He's Duck's bag, man. He carries Duck's bag and he got very upset with Damo. Just another feud that you're doing. Now, I have 2 weeks off. I like to think I'm a calming influence over you, Damo. I'll go away. And this happens last week. Have a listen.
The principle I was getting at was the concept of crowd monitors coming down and without training.
You're actually stereotyped a group of people.
Oh, for goodness sake, wake up. I mean, the trouble with
you didn't do that.
You're too serious.
You didn't do that?
Well, you can take it that way. That wasn't my intent, and you know my record in terms of multiculturalism.
Why did you apologise?
Oh, for goodness sake. This is what... Ask me about football. Talk about something that... Don't try and justify your own silly position.
I'm not doing that at all. You volunteered the comments at a all time right. when Shh. It wasn't required.
Anyone want to talk about football? I mean, this is just stupid.
I'm thinking of starting a mid-year mediation business. I'm going to get the people together. Yeah. I might get Mick Gatto on board, and we might just sort out a few of these feuds, legislate for a week off. Adam Simpson standing by. Has he got a feud with...
I don't know. I'd ask him.
Simo, welcome to you.
He should have a feud with you.
Simo, no feuds here in the West, is there?
Oh, there's a couple.
Damien a couple Barrett on his list, Tanya, or not?
You're probably the one.
I do need to apologise again. I could get that off the top.
Take it away, Tan. We're very nice to have the senior coach here on a Friday night.
It is. It's fantastic access. Simo, it doesn't get any bigger than this, does it, Collingwood on a Friday night?
No, it's been a pretty big build-up. Friday night footy, two teams that played off in the granny last year. So, yeah, we're really excited about tonight.
I have to ask you a light and fluffy one. It's school holidays here. We love school holidays. We sometimes take our kids to work. Now, you had Elsa at the press conference yesterday. Is she going to make any moves tonight in the coach's box?
No. It's cool. My wife's actually gone to Daylesford for 4 days, so I've got them on my own at the moment. So she just self-taught guitar lessons today, so she's going to be a musician this next couple of years.
I'm sure you've got some footy questions, guys.
Simo, Nick Nat was brilliant last week, played just over half a game. Do you expect his game time to increase, or is it sort of 50 to 60% where you see him playing for the remainder of the year?
We'll probably stick with what we did last year, Juddy. I know the year ended tragically for him, but the way we handled him last year, we were pretty happy with the output. He played probably 60, 70% and had really good impact when he was on the ground, and he got to train during the week, so when he can't train, that's when things start to go backwards. So he probably will need a rest at some stage before the back end of the season, but at this stage, he's trained during the week and he's pulling up well.
How's Josh Kennedy going, Adam? I know it's a constant monitoring of his body. Are you confident he's got the requirements for the remainder of the season physically?
Yeah, we just had the flu last week, so physically that wasn't an issue. He was another player we probably thought needed a spell before the end of the season, so he had it last week, really. He had the flu, and a few weeks ago he almost missed a game against Essendon with a similar condition, so he's over that now. He's right to go tonight, and hopefully that's the rest he needed for the rest of the year.
Simo, not that players get comfortable, but it must be nice to have the hunger of a couple of players that didn't play in last year's premiership, and obviously Gaff and Nat Newey, obviously Allen didn't play either, and Brad Shepherd.
Yeah, I think there's probably 15 premiership players playing tonight, which is a good mix for us. And those senior players who missed out last year, there's no doubt our the guys who did play and have something, a little bit more motivation, I suppose, at the start of pre-season. I could see in their eyes that they weren't taking any cutting any corners. And all those three players have come into the side really well. They're in our best 18, so, and they're in good form.
Hey, Simo, is it possible you signed your contract extension just a smidge too early? You might have been out of milk a few extra dollars, Johnny Longmire style out. Did you go a bit early?
No, I'm pretty happy where I am, Darcy. Fortunate enough to sign a four-year deal last year at the club, and really happy with where the club's going. We just moved in this new stadium of over 85,000 members, and the team's looking okay at the moment, so I'm pretty happy.
Let me decode that. You left a bit on the table. Just a little bit more there.
Coach, we appreciate your time on game night. Best of luck to you and the West Coast Eagles tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Great to speak to Adam Simpson, courtesy of Tanya Armstrong with Bob Jane T-Marts. Hurry in, buy three, get one free on selected Bridgestone, Dunlop and Hancock tires.
Building a nice big house over there, Adam Simpson, is he? They tell me. Yeah, very happy in the West. And why wouldn't you be with him too?
For those that aren't aware, why is he a little bit off with you?
Frosty.
Oh, very frosty. You want to go there?
I wouldn't imagine there would be any problem between me and Simo.
might be an ad break ghost story, shall we?
He said there was.
Did he?
Yeah.
I'll tell you in the ad break, guys. I don't think it's worthy of on-air consumption.
Time. Everyone's made a mistake.
It's one of those times where Duke needed a week off.
Probably should, exactly.
Darcy, you mentioned a little bit of a feud going into the break. I wandered it into an area that I had no idea about.
You had a very clear idea what you were wandering into. No, Howard, it was mischievous of you. This is the greatest mistake I've ever made on air, and I felt awful for it. And it still makes me, that uneasy feeling in your stomach. We were in Adelaide on a Friday night, would have been this time of the year, and Simo was coach at the Hawthorn Football Club, assistant coach. It's a small industry, so you get to know people. I'd bumped into him, I think, fairly recently, and he told me something very private in nature that was going on in his life. It was around a procedure that he was having. I'd mistakenly, and this is, people who know me will know this is the case, I would never do this intentionally. I thought I'd read it in the, you know, Scotty Gullen's comment in the paper. So I'm sort of half zoning out on a Friday night, and I go, Simo, tell us about that big needle you just got in your nuts. And you could just see the colour changed. I got a text message from him mid-sentence, which I can't repeat. And I had some serious apologising to do, Howie, which I needed to do and still do to this day. So.
You did that same thing to Juddy a couple of years ago too, yep. When you just told the world the contents of a conversation we'd had in an ad break on that Friday huddle on your Hot Breakfast program about Juddy selling his house. And that became a lead story for a lot of media outlets that day.
All was well that ends well. You got a good price, Juddy. We move on, and those things happen sometimes. Did I do that to you? Did I?
Brenton Sanderson to join us very shortly before we do that demo. Any other news just to tick off? You obviously brought the news about John Longmire for those just joining us for the first time.
Yeah, contracted now officially to the Sydney Swans as coach until the end of 2023. He had next year already locked away. North Melbourne came really hard with basically a $7.5 million at least deal over 5 years, and he's rejected that and stayed with the Swans and will still be hoping to make finals this year, and he hasn't missed finals in his 9 completed seasons as a Swans coach. With the North situation, it does leave them in a precarious position given they went for Longmire, Simpson and also Clarkson, Brownie, and the other two had already previously said no. So Rhys Shaw sits there now with a 4-from-5 win-loss ratio in his caretaker status. And the two men doing everything down there, almost to the exclusion of anyone else, is Ben Buckley, the chairman, officially, and Glenn Archer, who once sat on the board but is now not. And look, they've got every right to do whatever they want to do and run their club the way they see fit. But it's a strange way in 2019 to go about business the way they have been doing it.
In what respect?
Just that Archer's out making phone calls to everyone, including the man we just spoke to, Adam Simpson, and also he's managed to wrench Brady Rawlings away from the Eagles' fold as list manager for North Melbourne next year. So it's a different way of doing business.
How should it be done, or how is it traditionally done in this delicate situation?
Well, there's also a review going on at the moment at the club itself, and the chief executive is out of the country, or had been out of the country, Carl Delina.
There were allegations that Carl Delina didn't know about phone calls or offers being made by Glenn Archer. They're the allegations.
They're more than allegations. There's certainly been regular contact being made by people at North that he's not aware of.
Ben Buckley's business background and history is, you know, specifically in setting up organisations culturally in this space, isn't it? So you would think that Ben Buckley's fairly well equipped to run a process like this. Yep. He advises other businesses. I understand. I think exactly on that. So I think North Melbourne would be in pretty good hands, I think, with Ben Buckley as chairman. I'm not privy to any of what's going on along the side, but I'd be pretty confident in Ben Buckley.
Bob, Jane Tiemant, Tanya Armstrong with another very special guest. Tan.
Yes, we go inside the Collingwood camp now with assistant coach Brenton Sanderson. Brenton, you're here in Perth after a couple of losses. Are you confident you're going to get the response you want tonight?
Yeah, we just had a really good meeting in there with Nathan, and obviously this has become a pretty intense rivalry over the last couple of seasons. But in particular, any time I think last year's grand finalists get together, it's always pretty hot and probably a good time to play them for us because our form hasn't been at its best, and we need to get back to our best tonight. So hopefully, playing last year's premiers can bring the best out of us.
How are you going to do that? What have you been working on? Give us an insight this week. What's been happening behind closed doors?
Well, the boys are really close, and I think sometimes these interstate trips are good. You just get away with, the sort of minimal staff, and the players spend a bit more time together. And obviously, we've made a couple of changes, and we've just shuffled things around a little bit. And there'll be a couple of little different things tonight, I think you'll see, with some matchups and where guys are playing, to hopefully just sort of spark the group a little bit. And it's getting obviously close to September, and you can't flirt with your form too much. So we've got to make sure that if we want to play and go deep into September, first we've got to win enough games to qualify. So it'd be great to get an away win tonight. They're always a tough side to beat on the road. So, it'll be one of the good wins tonight if we can get it.
Hey, Sando, hard one to quantify, but you've been around football a long time. You know, the Jaden Stevenson thing happens. They come up all the time in football issues, but does sometimes that take the wind out of momentum? You're flying at that stage. Do you see sometimes an issue like that just halts the group at times or not?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, we really do miss him, and it's a shame because sometimes players get injured and there's nothing really you can do. But unfortunately, when you've got a player that's fit and would certainly be playing tonight and playing a pretty important role for us, the flip side of that is he went out and Jamie Elliott's now back into the side. So similar sort of players, both lightning quick and good aerial and hopefully can hit the scoreboard. So it'd be great when we get Steve-O back. It won't be until September. So we've got to, as I said before, make sure we qualify first. But hopefully Billy can reproduce some of his best form, and he spent a lot of time out of the game. And even though he played a couple of games at the start of this year, when Jamie Elliott's up and firing, we're a really hard side to beat.
Brenton, what's your take on the comparative lethargy with which the club's played probably for 5 or 6 weeks now, certainly three, the win against the Western Bulldogs and then the two losses in a row, North Melbourne and Hawthorn? I've heard a few people give their versions of why it's happening. What's your take on that?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I mean, even a few of our wins, before the last 2 weeks, we've saved our best till either the last quarter or we've had a really good third quarter and, kicked 7 goals or whatever in a quarter to sort of set up the win. But we haven't played 4 quarters of good footy for a while now. Probably the Melbourne game prior to the bye was the last time we put 4 quarters together of really consistent footy. And, we're all sort of scratching our heads, and you'd love for all of your best players to be in the best of their form, but it's hard to stay up for so long. And we see the industry's getting better and better. It seems to be getting more and more even, and all the upsets, even last week, with a lot of the top six sides getting beat. So you just got to bring your best every week. But I don't think there's any sort of definitive one thing. I think it's probably a combination of lots of little things that we just need to get back to doing our best, and hopefully that's tonight.
Appreciate your time, Brenton. Good luck to you and the Collingwood Footy Club tonight in the West.
Thanks, Harry. Cheers.
At 6:15 tonight, Nate possibly blew the future of this show out of the water when he went with his own themed song about Juddy's week, which he sang.
It's a good song.
It is now up. There is a video of this. Nate, how you allowed this to be filmed?
I didn't know they were filming.
At Triple M Footy's Facebook page. It'll be up on the rest of the socials shortly.
Like an MTV style.
What was the tune again, Nate?
It was a remake of a Sonia Data little number.
All right. Full game preview next as we go to the break. For those that missed it.
Didn't sound like
enjoy.
It.
Here's a little bit of it. Nate Brown. Juddy, 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 you don't want me all blue no more. Juddy, 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 you don't want me no blue no more. Shut up, the footy's on Triple M. Triple M rocks footy.